We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome back to Bone Business here on CannabisRadio.com. Thank you all for joining us. Powered by the Buzz CRM, stop juggling multiple marketing tools and ditch those expensive subscriptions. The Buzz CRM. Your all-in-one solution with over 500 tools to manage every aspect of your marketing. By the way, we're going to be introducing free webinars for all of you to go ahead and learn more about the Buzz CRM because it's been asked for by popular demand. You want to know more about the product. And before you make that significant investment, you want to go ahead and learn more about it. So we're going to start offering free webinars. You'll find more about it at thebuzzcrm.com. We have you covered with a single affordable plan. Get more bang for your buck. Boost your ROI. Get ready for those free webinars. We'll tell you about that here on the program in the coming weeks and months. TheBuzzCRM.com. Learn today and go ahead and subscribe right now. So on the program today, I'm here with a cybersecurity attorney at Clark Hill PLC with extensive experience advising clients on data privacy, cybersecurity threats, and regulatory compliance. He has a deep understanding of the evolving risks facing highly regulated industries, including cannabis, where financial constraints, legal complexities, and reliance on third-party vendors create unique vulnerabilities. Now, my guest has also worked with businesses to strengthen their cybersecurity posture, navigate breach responses, and implement proactive risk management strategies in an increasingly volatile digital landscape. I'm here with Jason Schwent. Jason, thanks for being on with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Now, what prompted us to go and do the interview that we looked at when it was brought to us was about a story that happened in November of last year. A company called Stizzy, we've talked about them on the program. We featured them on the program. Suffered a data breach that exposed the personal information of approximately 380,000 customers. That attributed to the Everest cybercrime group, affecting multiple locations, and was traced to a compromise within one of the company's point-of-sale processing vendors. Now, given that, Jason, the regulatory burdens and financial constraints within the cannabis industry, how do you assess this overall cybersecurity posture of most cannabis businesses today, maybe the ones that are not represented by you, and how they are significantly behind other regulated industries?
First, I would say that in dealing with
cannabis companies, I have found them more open to preventative measures to enhance their cybersecurity than other retail establishments. I don't know if that's because of the fact that cannabis is a relatively young industry and that they may be more open to change. But I have found them to be more willing to take on steps and to attempt to try to address cybersecurity concerns. But I think they've got several strikes against them as an industry just because of where they are and how they operate. So there's concerns with the fact that they're a very heavily regulated industry. That's going to be a problem. So anytime you have an issue with a heavily regulated industry, you're going to be under a microscope pretty quickly. There's also the problem of payment processing when it comes to the cannabis industry, where the major card brands have, will not knowingly process credit card and debit card transactions over their networks, making and forcing cannabis companies to have to go to sort of alternative methods to process card transactions, which those alternative methods are from companies who are perhaps, and I don't think any of this is intentional or any of it is negligent or sloppy necessarily. I think it's just because they're not as experienced in processing retail transactions as perhaps a more traditional processing company would be in a retail environment. And so with that comes some risk. The fact that maybe their systems haven't been completely vetted to the extent and for the period of time that a traditional retail processor would have been vetted. And those cause problems. Those cause risk. And I think that risk is multiplied by the fact that you're in a heavily regulated industry when we're dealing with cannabis. And the repercussions of that are really kind of magnified in that brands in this sort of young industry that cannabis is in, brands that get a reputation as being sloppy, that they're not protecting customer information, that sort of thing, that can be really, really painful for brands who are kind of struggling and fighting for attention in a kind of wide open marketplace that we see in cannabis. And I think those things make the requirements for cybersecurity even more powerful when we're dealing with the cannabis industry.
Now, I want to prompt everybody listening into the program that if you want to go and follow along with what we're talking about here, there was a story that Jason and also one of your other colleagues, Paul Schmelzer, wrote on this story, very comprehensive, on the Clark Hill website, clarkhill.com, one word, clarkhill.com, and look for the story titled "The Growing Cybersecurity Risks in the Cannabis Industry." So if you want to go and follow along with that as we continue along. Now, Jason, this STIZY breach, this highlights how third-party vendors can be the weak link in cybersecurity for cannabis. And what would you say should be the due diligence that cannabis companies could perform before partnering with a point-of-sale or compliance software provider? I mean, you would feel like there's a good reputation. There's a lot of good POS providers and offers of sale. I mean, there are a lot of great companies we've talked about. But, there is something to be said about making sure that ducks in a row and that everybody's also on the same page to make sure any proprietary information is kept private.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the cannabis industry, again, there's so much personal information you are required to collect and maintain. You've got to scan government IDs. You've got to keep people's names. You've got to collect all of this really valuable information. And so I think it really does put an impetus on cannabis companies to have to do a little due diligence when they're working with these processors. Normal due diligence would be you'd want to talk to them and ask them about their security protocols, procedures, technology that they have in place to secure their environment. Many times, the biggest red flag you'll get is if they don't want to talk about it or they don't really know what you're talking about and they're not sure what you're asking for. Those are red flags. The vendor you're working with should be very knowledgeable about their security protocols and procedures they have in place and how they're going to protect your data. They should be willing to share with you how they're going to do that and what their plan for doing that is. If they aren't, that should raise some red flags for you. You should also see whether they are familiar with And I'm going to use an acronym here. It's PCI-DSS. That's the Payment Card Industry's security standard. They are contractual obligations that those who process any cards on any major brand network, so Visa, MasterCard, Amex, Discover, if you're on their networks, you have to comply with these security requirements. If you mention that term, PCI DSS, and they look at you in a puzzled way, that should be a bit of a red flag. You'll want to ask them about their compliance with PCI DSS. That is a major standard that anybody who's processing any cards should be very familiar with. There are the limits, obviously, with PCI DSS, and that you're not allowed to openly be transacting, you know, in cannabis goods, but there are other requirements in there in terms of security requirements, things that you have to have in place, assessments that you have to do on a rotating basis. All of these things are good practices for any processor who you're working with for them to be undertaking. And if they're not familiar with them, if they don't know about them, those should be red flags. Those are big concerns.
Now, Jason, one of those areas that we want to make sure, if we kind of, you know, open up a little more about what specific details that also these companies are also picking up and collecting this personal information. We got medical cannabis cards.
Yep.
We got, you know, the other thing is just the implications. The implications legal and ethically of that data being exposed. And if these businesses could face HIPAA-like consequences in the future. Talking about what are the consequences if this happens. I mean, I could see where there's, you know, we see it all the time. There's data privacy issues. Somebody can go ahead and hire, you know, go to some tort lawyer that'll go ahead and represent, and some class action lawsuit will come in. Big settlement comes out. You're out of a lot of money.
Absolutely. I think the cybersecurity risks are there for every retailer in every industry. But I think in cannabis, because of the sensitivity of the information that's being collected, a lot of government IDs, medical cards, you could potentially be getting that could be considered HIPAA protected health information, depending on the circumstances. That opens up regulatory investigations. Every state in the country, including Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C., has a data breach notification law. If you have a breach, you have certain steps you have to take to notify individuals about there have been unauthorized access to their information. Those notification obligations come with costs, significant. Regulatory reviews come with costs. And I think the double sort of the fact that cannabis is such a heavily regulated industry, you really don't want any more attention on your business in this space than you need to have. They're already going to be paying attention to you. Having an incident where you are perceived as carelessly handling consumer information, that's going to put, you know, a real target on you for a state's attorney general. And many of these states' attorney generals, including California, Colorado, are very active in their enforcement measures. And so to have you be in a heavily regulated industry and then have be in a state where they're paying great attention to the unauthorized access to consumer information, you could really find yourself under a really big microscope pretty easily. And that's just something you don't want to be dealing with. The other problem is that you are talking about an industry where the individuals who are involved, right or wrong, and I don't think it should be there, but there is a sort of negative connotation to being a user of cannabis products. And I think people who have their information exposed, they might be even more upset than if their purchases at Target were exposed. Their purchases at a dispensary being exposed could potentially be more problematic to them and make them more prone to filing a lawsuit, you know, filing a class action, you know, against you to collect, you know, for that embarrassment or that exposure that's associated with this. Those are all sort of, you know, the issues that can come up when you have a breach. And so,
but more importantly, a cannabis company, you know, when we've talked to various companies about insurance or when they talk about compliance, if there's a violation, if there's something that happens wrong in the compliance process, or that, you know, we've had insurance companies tell us that the risk mitigation, that these companies are not buying enough of a policy to cover for that. The thing is that one of these data privacy issues, if you're dinged for it, that's it. You're wiped out. It's as simple as that. People can't afford to go ahead and go through like these bigger corporations that might be able to take, you know, an issue of data privacy, like a Facebook or Amazon, whatever it might be. They can probably take the hit, but cannabis companies, they can't take this level of hit.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about with the Stizzy incident, that was roughly a month's worth of access. So it was like October to November of 2024. And that resulted in 380,000 individuals' information impacted. That's a ton of people that you have to provide notice to. You have to provide credit monitoring to them. You have them who are, you know, those all come with costs. It would not surprise me to see that the total costs involved in that incident being several hundred thousand dollars. There was a statistic from a couple of years ago that said that for small to mid-sized businesses, if they have suffered a cybersecurity incident, they are 50% likely to go out of business within the next 6 months.
Yeah.
Which is just a staggering, you know, statistic. That is the kind of effect one of these incidents can have. And I have to say, it is impossible to make your company completely impervious to any of these attacks. It just is. You have to be ready to prepare for them, and you have to have insurance to protect whenever one of these happens. That insurance is getting more expensive. That insurance is coming with more restrictions. You have to do more to try to mitigate those risks, but you have to have that insurance. It is really an insurmountable cost that comes with one of these investigations when you have any sort of impact like this. I mean, the Stizzy one was a month of access, and you had close to 500,000 people impacted.
Yep. Let's go to commercial break. When we come back, I'm here with Jason Swint, cybersecurity attorney from Clark Hill. And of course, we've talked to a number of folks from Clark Hill over the past, Bob Hoban, of course, we all know from Clark Hill, Craig Williams, among others. And we've, you know, it's always amazing about your firm always being on top of so many different stories, from rescheduling to, you know, various issues with illicit market, so many other areas. But now this issue of cybersecurity, so important we talk about this. Next, we got to talk about the real, you know, the real issue that's out there when it comes to credit card processing and cashless ATMs, which is such a big issue and so huge to be a cybersecurity risk. We're going to talk about that more with Jason here on Blunt Business after a short break.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
Welcome back. I'm here with Jason Swint, cybersecurity attorney at Clark Hill. There was a story they put out on their website. You can go look for it right now. The growing cybersecurity risks in the cannabis industry. Just look for that on their news and events section on the website, clarkhill.com. One word, clarkhill.com. Back to the story. I want to talk to you about the issues where in the story, I want to read exactly from the post. Due to federal restrictions in the United States, major credit card networks typically do not process cannabis-related transactions. Trust me, there have been companies that are trying to do their best to give financial and banking solutions, especially credit cards. We know there was one we were talking with that we actually had a hosting a program with us here. And, you know, it's been very difficult to get through and get through to be the credit card processor to go ahead and go up and process in various countries, just like all the other major credit card companies. But one popular method we right now have, because of the alternative payment solutions that have been done out there, has been cashless ATMs, disguising cannabis purchases as ATM withdrawals. While this workaround has enabled businesses to operate within the constraints of the financial system, it has led to increased scrutiny from regulators and financial institutions. Now, with that said, Jason, unfortunately, all these companies, or these businesses, have to go and still go with cashless ATMs.
Yep.
No choice to it. And, you know, I mean, you could try to do things where, from the protection side, some companies might have the money coming as cash, but going as blockchain to protect it, and they can bring it back out as cash again. All these different areas. But the lack of access to traditional banking still heightens cybersecurity risks. What security best practices could you recommend for businesses to use? What, using these methods, what should they be doing instead?
I mean, I think, again, it's about the due diligence with the vendors you partner with. And it's also about making sure that you internally are not 100% relying on that vendor. Go back to Ronald Reagan's statement of, you know, trust but verify. You can trust your vendors, but you should be doing due diligence on them on a regular basis, making sure that they're following their own procedures, that they're updating their security practices year to year. The requirements of the payment card industry to have any sort of transactions being processed, you have to do yearly assessments that assess the risks that you may be coming across and dealing with those as effectively as you can. Make sure that your vendors are doing that. It can feel very limited in terms of the steps you can take, because you are virtually almost 100% relying on your vendor to make sure that they're keeping these things and these transactions secure. But you do need to go through the steps of making sure they're doing what they're telling you they're doing. You want to avoid vendors who don't have a lengthy track record, unless you can verify and see what they're doing and they're willing to share with you the steps that they're taking to protect your data and to protect those transactions. I think the reality is these incidents are going to increase. Across all industries, and so cannabis would be a part of that as well. You have to make sure that when they happen, you don't look like you were careless. Because what happens, as an industry, cannabis really can't suffer from even one or two players who make really bad decisions and are careless with data. What you'll find is that there'll be pressure then put on those payment card processors to shut these operations down. Look, cannabis is too risky. We can't be involved in that. They're too careless. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. We can't take that risk. And so we're not going to get involved. It also takes the pressure off of those credit card companies to allow legitimate processing of transactions. I mean, I think ultimately the goal for everybody in the industry would be that their transactions are processed like anybody else's. And we don't want to derail that effort by being careless with our practices as we proceed towards that goal. And so a lot of that falls on making sure that you work with attorneys and others who are familiar with these transactions and with these contracts with these vendors, to make sure that you're doing all you can to make sure that the transactions are processed securely. That's the best that you can do, and to make sure that you're vigilant with that.
Now, the other thing that's got to be considered when it comes to, look, when companies need to go and invest, we talk about compliance all the time. I mean, on this program, God, it's a broken record. It's like, it's a drinking game with me, Jason, I kid you not. But I'm being serious about it. The other part that doesn't get talked about enough, and I will admit, I don't say it enough either, but at the same time, retailers are investing heavily in compliance-related technology, but not cybersecurity, because they are relying on the third parties to handle that respect. You're saying it yourself, to trust on those third parties. But companies have to be able to shift their mindset to prioritize both. And what can they do to go towards better security so that they can? I mean, does there need to be something more than just making sure the third-party vendors are up to speed?
I think it's ongoing diligence that it should not, cybersecurity and data privacy should not be considered a finish line. It is definitely an ongoing process. And I, you know, as a heavily regulated industry, cannabis, like a lot of the others, including healthcare, finance, those sort of things, they're specialized vendors who are out there. MJ Freeway is one, and they had a breach, you know, within the last couple of years. MJ Freeway had a had software that would help you keep track of all of the data you need to keep track of from your customers to meet compliance obligations. And we all know that your compliance obligations are going to vary from state to state. And so relying on a vendor to make sure that as you practice state to state, you can keep on top of all of those laws, that's really critical. And it's not something that you can really stop or avoid. But it is something where you do have to make sure that you don't just sign your contract with your vendor and go, okay, it's their responsibility. I'm out of the equation now. You have to stay on top of that. You have a duty to do so, to stay on top of that, to make sure that they are assessing their risks year to year in an accurate and beneficial manner, and that they're addressing any risks that they find. You really kind of have to be vigilant about that. What I would like to see ideally happen with cybersecurity is that the compliance efforts that are around cybersecurity get folded into the yearly sort of compliance reviews that are done on other issues in your business. So HR, labor and employment sort of updates that you have to do on a yearly basis to make sure that people aren't sexually harassing or, you know, improper conduct in the workplace or your hiring practices, that you fold into those sort of yearly compliance measures that you're doing some cybersecurity and data privacy efforts. It should become like any other compliance step that you're taking. And I know that can be a pain, but if you think about it as another piece of compliance that you need to really work on, it can really help you to kind of make that a routine annual sort of thing that takes place. You can review, do your own risk assessment of the data that you have that you're holding on your systems and what you share with others. And you limit any of the data that you're sharing. Do you really have to share all of the data that you're collecting with others? If you can help slim down the data that you're giving to those outside your organization, then you can limit your risks. You don't have that risk landscape that you would have if you're sharing everything that you collect. Those are all things to kind of consider on an annual basis, on a rolling basis, because the risks associated with that are going to change year to year. Your practices are going to change year to year. And it's good to kind of look at that, those, to look at those on a kind of rolling basis to see if there's any changes that are necessary.
Let's go and go back to another commercial break. When we come back, more with Jason Schwent from Clark Hill, and really going just the part about what states have been doing to try to require necessary measures to help in the same process of cybersecurity, and what companies should be doing in terms of steps to make sure they can avoid what Stizzy went through in November 2004. We'll talk more with Jason Swain here on Blunt Business after this. I'm back with final questions here with Jason Swain, cybersecurity attorney at Clark Hill on Blunt Business. And we know that states require strict reporting for inventory tracking, but they have minimal data security mandates. So again, with compliance in the same respect, they're the bare minimum of what is required for compliance. I say that over and over, which is why, you know, when it comes to compliance, looking to go ahead and try to find yourself at good manufacturing practices or GMP or higher standards than that. And then for hemp, getting to the level of the Cosmetics Act of 1930, those kind of barriers for other industries that already follow, they already need to follow those barriers of entry, that barrier of compliance. The same thing should go here for the fact that the states do not have any particular security mandates. So we could ask about what state governments and regulators can play to enforce stronger cybersecurity standards. I could ask that question, but I'm not expecting the state and local governments to go and do anything about that right away. So I will say the proactive approach. Jason, is there a particular parameter or a particular level of cybersecurity mandate that within the company they should be policing themselves? Is there a particular level that other industries already follow that the cannabis industry should follow?
That's a good question. And it's one where across all businesses, unfortunately, there aren't any good universal standards that are out there. There are some standards from NIST and from some others, but those can be often, many of the parts of it can be inapplicable to a retailer. They can be particularly inapplicable to a smaller retail operation. And so they're not necessarily a good fit. For me personally, the best thing that any business can do compliance-wise is to get their arms around what data they are collecting and what they're doing with it. If you can know, here's the data that I'm collecting. I need to collect a bunch of this for state. I need to collect a bunch of this for marketing purposes. I need to collect a bunch of this for payment processing. Understand what data you have, what you're pulling into your organization, and what data you have to provide to third parties. Those are your bare minimums in terms of what you need to collect. You are likely going to want to collect more than that, particularly in the marketing area. Doing so, since you're already having to collect all of this different information, there's a feeling, well, you know, I'll just collect more. I'm already collecting a whole bunch of it, and it's all pretty sensitive. Who cares if I collect a little bit more? The problem is, in this space, in state regulatory realms, states are getting much more comfortable in terms of regulating what you do with information you collect from consumers. They're getting more involved. They're setting more requirements. And that trend in terms of increasing requirements of what you have to do with the information you collect and how you have to treat it and what you have to tell people, that trend is increasing across blue and red states alike.
I want to ask about the one standard that you referenced earlier on, the PCI DSS, Payment Card Industry Data Security Standard. Can that be viewed as a possible universal standard?
Yeah, I think that is a good starting point. And it definitely, I think it is a bit rigorous for particularly smaller vendors or smaller retailers. But I think they're not a bad target. Another target that isn't bad to approach is HIPAA. The requirements under HIPAA for what you have to do when you're collecting data and how you protect it, those aren't bad. You're seeing increasing requirements in some of the financial sectors can be of some help there. For instance, NYDFS, the New York Department of Financial Services, they've implemented some new cybersecurity requirements for businesses that are in the financial sector, are technically that are financial institutions that are practicing in New York. Those aren't bad places to look. I think the best suggestion would be start with one of those, aim towards compliance with that. But then I would also consult an attorney who's familiar with these regulations to see where you can skip a particular step or skip a particular area of protection because it's not really applicable to you. Having an attorney sign off on that and tell you that your operations are compliant with whatever laws you're looking at, those can be valuable statements. And if they're experienced in the space in terms of dealing with regulation, in terms of dealing with these different state laws, having them sign off on your compliance with those laws can be a huge step in terms of if there's later regulatory review, you can say, look, I went to a third party, to an attorney to help me do this, and they said I was compliant and doing all I was supposed to do. That can be helpful. And it can also help you in terms of how you do your spend. How much money are you going to spend on that? Nobody has unlimited funds to protect their systems. And so where are you going to make your investments? Where is it best to spend the limited funds that you have? And an attorney can help you sort that out.
So let's go and bring up what attorneys like your team at Clark Hill can do about this, because I also want to reference in the article we've been referencing here throughout the show, the growing cybersecurity risks in the cannabis industry. You can find it on the Clark Hill website under News and Events. Aside from Stizzy, we've been talking about throughout the program, there was another company you mentioned in here, which was MJ Freeway, which is now Akerna. So previous name, they do compliance software for cannabis businesses. They also experienced repeated breaches that disrupted operations for dispensaries across the U.S. So there have been numerous companies that have gotten caught up in this, and it's not like they're not trying to, you know, do their best foot forward, but there's just risks that come in. And if somebody who's going to break into the system and find the personal information and expose it, it's a bigger problem. So crisis management strategies. The thing is that we could talk about, you know, what companies could do to avoid mitigating damage. But again, this is where you need to go and find a particular universal standard. That's why I thought maybe mentioning the fact that you brought up PCI DSS, maybe that's something that would be a good starting ground. But again, there's a whole lot of things that go with that. So again, talk to an attorney about this, get the best information for that. But now when it comes to crisis management, for companies like these that went through this, what would you say would be the best strategy in crisis management that companies should have in place to maintain customer trust? If an incident like this occurs, what would be your best course of action that you would recommend?
Yeah, the two things there would be, one, know what information you have within your environment and who you're sharing that with. And make sure that you're taking steps to adequately protect that. That's good. The next step would be have a plan. I cannot emphasize enough that you should be preparing as if an event is going to happen. That is the likely, statistics say it's going to happen, that you're going to be hit with an incident. And that applies to all businesses, not just cannabis, but for all businesses. The statistics say at some point you're going to get hit. Have a plan to respond to that.
Yeah.
That plan should be specific enough to identify the people who are responsible for the steps that are in that plan. So that when it happens, there's no need to seek permission. There's no need to look to, oh, we need to get board approval to do this, or we need to talk to these people or this owner. Everybody knows their role and they know what they're supposed to do when it happens. A quick response can help limit the impact of these incidents and limit the damages that are associated. So have a plan. The next thing would be, please have insurance. Please have cybersecurity insurance to cover these events. And you need to make sure that they're of the right type, because there's different types of cyber events that can happen. And you need to make sure that the policy you get covers the risks that you're concerned about.
Now, I want to make sure it's clear that, because when I talked to the folks at Hub International, we talked about risk mitigation and what policies they should get and what should be in the policy. When it comes to what should be done here for companies to make sure they have the right cybersecurity risks, that they have the right policy or the right things in place for them to make sure that everything's taken care of, what should they necessarily have to make sure they have the right measures in place?
Yeah, the things you're going to want to look at, you're going to start with the information you have that is valuable. And how would somebody get to that information? The two most common types of cybersecurity incidents are ransomware and business email compromise. Those are your, so the first one is they get into your system, they take data and they encrypt part of your data, your part or all of your systems, and you have to pay a fee to get out of that. You want to make sure that you have insurance coverage for the payment of that ransom if you need to make it. If you decide as a business, we have to make this ransom payment, then you should make sure that your insurance coverage allows for that. It should also, you want to make sure that you're covered for the restoration of that. Can they, you know, building your network back, bringing in vendors to help you position your network, remediate your systems. For business email compromise, similarly, what happens with those is they get into your email system, they watch your email traffic, and they'll jump in on a payment. And so you've got a vendor who you need to make a payment to, or that vendor needs to make a payment to you, and they redirect it. And they say, hey, we changed our policies. Here's our new ACH instructions. And they send it to a new account. You want to make sure that your insurance policy covers the repayment of that redirected funds. Sometimes that coverage can be considered part of your crime policy, depending on the insurer that you're dealing with, depending on how that payment is redirected. Sometimes insurance companies will say, well, if they got into your email account and they redirected a payment using email, that is a cyber event. But if they call up your receptionist or somebody who's at your company in your accounts receivable department and say, hey, we need to change our payment information, send it here, and they call them up, they may decide that that's not a cybersecurity event because they didn't use computers or computer networks to get in. They just called you up. That might be a crime fraud type protection. So you want to make sure that the threats that you as a business are concerned about, that you have protections for those particular events, which requires you knowing what data you have, what's the most valuable and important things that you're holding to make sure that you can adequately protect them. But those are some examples that I've seen.
Yeah.
One other piece that I will say is very, very important. When you fill out your application for insurance coverage, you have to explain what your business is. The questionnaires are becoming much more involved and much longer than they used to be. You want to be 100% accurate in everything that you put into that questionnaire. Because if that information is not accurate, or if the information changes during the life of the policy and you don't update the insurance company, they can deny coverage for that.
Boy. Yeah.
Because your circumstances have changed. You went from when you first started and got the policy, you said, we're collecting information from this handful of online B2B customers we have. So there's no real personal information involved. And then you opened up to a B2 consumer business. And now you've got a bunch of consumer data that you're holding. That's a different risk profile. You've changed your risk profile and you didn't tell your insurance company. And I've seen coverage denied for that. So you want to be very, very honest with that and update them. It may lead to an increase in fees, but it's going to be much better than having your coverage canceled.
You don't want to have that happen. Folks, you don't want to have that kind of happen. If you don't take care of your business and you have your representation decide to drop you and they won't represent you, that's the kind of things you don't want to be worrying about at all. You can't let that be a problem. Yeah. Jason's plan.
Real quick, when you are working on those incident response plans, bring in some sort of counsel. So I, for instance, work on a couple hundred events a year, ransomwares, business email compromises, all kinds of cyber events. I can help advise my clients on the risks that they face and what they should be doing. I can also have my clients write me into policies. So work with an attorney who you're comfortable with, who knows your business, who can help and is familiar with your incident response plan. Then when you have an event, make sure that you can have them written into your insurance policy if you want, and say, I want this particular attorney to help me in responding to this event. Then they can be there and you can get the partner who's familiar with your business already, who knows your procedures, who doesn't have a learning curve that they have to deal with, and they can already be approved. They can already...
Well, take a minute.
They can already be approved by your insurance company. So there's no question about whether their fees will be covered, there'll be a pre-arranged rate, et cetera. That gives you more control as a business. That you can say, I want to work with this attorney who's familiar with me. And when we have a problem, they'll be there to help me through that process. That can be a big help in terms of keeping costs down, responding very efficiently to the problem, and making sure that they can move at a much faster pace because they're already familiar with your organization.
Yeah.
That can be a big help.
All right. Again, Jason Schwint, cybersecurity attorney at Clark Hill. This has been a great conversation. Listen, some of you out there were like, oh, come on, you know about this? Yeah, I know. I'm hitting it over the head. Compliance, cybersecurity. And you know what? I'm just glad that your team actually pointed this out. Like when you brought up the story and made the argument and the article comes out, this is important to bring up. We've got to go ahead and call attention to this for folks out there, for companies, because it might be, not so many incidents that happened, but the risk and the possibilities, you just don't want to be able to get in. You want to have peace of mind. You've got to make sure that's all taken care of. So let's direct people to the website, clarkhill.com. Again, we mentioned people to go ahead and find the article under news and events, the growing cybersecurity risks in the cannabis industry. And Jason, also just going to wrap things up, you know, direct people to go ahead and, as we go to the website, why, what you can be able to go and do them and provide help in this respect. And, you know, what's the best way to go and reach out to your team?
The easiest way to get a hold of us is via email. You can email any of us on the website in the cybersecurity team. We live and die by email, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. These events happen at the most inopportune times, and that's fine. We're here for those. So that's the easiest way to get a hold of us. If you've got any questions or concerns, by all means, please feel free to reach out to me. I'm happy to answer those. And yeah, it's the one piece that I find is kind of unusual that people don't think about is involving an attorney in responding to a cyber event. It really is important because these are compliance events more and more. They're not just an IT event. And so you really, if you're dealing with compliance, you should have an attorney involved. They will be there to help you through that process. And you should take advantage of that.
Really appreciate you going and telling us about all this here. I got a good takeaway from this. Thank you, listeners, also for listening to another Blunt Business. We'll talk to you next time.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Did you know an average of 33,000 domains get registered every day? If you've got an idea for a business, make sure you name it right away. Just search Wix Domains and claim yours before someone else does. Your ideal.com, .net, .u is out there. Search Wix Domains and go grab yours today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.